Good morning. It's kind of hard to follow all that. I told him if he doesn't stop saying that, I'm not going to do this anymore. But he doesn't obey. Maybe 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave me a message to give to the church, and I did. At least I gave what I had at the moment. And a little bit later, the rest of it dropped into my spirit. And this is sort of the rest of it.
Rest of the story.
The rest of the story, exactly. And I called it Remember the Red Sea. The events of the last few months in our family have been epic. It's not that we faltered in our faith, or that we're mad at God, or even that we've questioned God. But truth be told, there are some questions to which we just don't have answers. We don't know why a drunk driver crossed the highway at that exact moment, killing himself, our beautiful, vibrant 24-year-old niece, Jessica, her boyfriend, and the father of her little, beautiful, red-headed, one-and-a-half-year-old baby girl, Ellie, and leaving her suffering from traumatic brain injury. We accept that we may never have the answers to these questions, but there are some things we do know. We know that God has given comfort and peace. He's met physical and financial needs. He's strengthened family ties, provided support for this long journey that this is going to be. And he's wrought many miracles in little Ellie right before our eyes. So how does one cope after having experienced such a tragedy? How can you move forward when there are such holes in our hearts? What does forward even look like now? What's next for Ellie, her guardians, frankly, the entire family? Let's look at a couple of passages of scripture that may help us put some light around this. Isaiah 57:1 in the Amplified Bible says, paraphrased, that the righteous man perishes at the hand of evil. Faithful and devout men are taken away, and nobody understands that the righteous person is taken away to be spared from disaster and evil. Could it be that God was merciful to save Jessica from future disaster and evil that we knew nothing about, that may have even caused her to leave her faith in God? Could it be that in his all-consuming desire to see everyone saved, that he took her at the time she was ready to go? In John 11:25, again in paraphrase, Jesus told a woman, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live eternally. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never finally die. What a promise. So these things are sure, and we are grateful that Jessica lives eternally with Christ and that we will be reunited with her in heaven. We also know that God's ways are so much higher than our ways. Though we don't fully understand at the moment, we know we can trust him. In Exodus chapters 14 through 17, we find the story of the Red Sea. God had freed the children of Israel from Egypt's bondage and instructed them to keep moving toward the Red Sea and set up their camp just outside Migdol towards the sea. But at the very same time that they are following God's instructions, God told Moses that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart again and cause him to pursue the children of Israel with intent to kill them. Yes, God caused Pharaoh to chase them right to the very campsite that he had told them to move to. What in the world? Was God confused? Was he playing with their minds? Can't you just imagine what they were thinking when they obeyed God and still saw the Egyptian army with 600 chariots? So the reference material says, 600 chariots surrounding them. They literally had no way out. They cried to Moses, "Why didn't God just kill us in Egypt rather than slaughtering us here in this awful desert place?" And once again, Moses consulted with God. And afterwards, this is the message Moses delivered to the people. "Fear not, just you wait and see the salvation of the Lord this very day. For the Lord will fight this battle for you, and you will never again see the Egyptians." A few weeks ago, the word of the Lord was spoken to this church, which said, "I will make a way for you where there is no way." God had a plan for the Israelites, and he has a plan for you now, even though it may appear that there is no way. God told Moses to strike his rod against the sea, and in that very moment of man's obedience, the Bible and the commentary I read said, God blew a freezing cold wind out of his nostrils that parted the water and froze the parted waters into walls from the bottom to the top, so that it formed solid walls on either side and dried the ground in between. When they had all safely passed through, and there were at least a million, commentary says between 1 and 1.5 million people crossing through this God-made iceberg on dry land, God stirred up the Egyptians at that moment to charge after them in hot pursuit, executing his perfect plan. He caused a great and violent shaking, or as we Californians know so well, an earthquake, and melted the ice walls and drowned every last Egyptian, their horses, and all 600 chariots. The victor's song in verse 11 says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord among gods?" And notice that that is a small g, many gods, but there's only one, God Jehovah, who can match your glorious holiness. You are fearful in praises and doing such wonders. God's plan that day included creating an iceberg with a tunnel in the middle of it and an earthquake to wipe out the enemy. He literally made a way where there was no way. You would think that these amazing wonders would be proof enough of God's trustworthiness, but just a few short chapters later, they're already complaining again that God had abandoned them in the desert because they found only bitter water to drink at Marah. They didn't remember the Red Sea at all. Moses again cried out to God on their behalf, and the Lord showed him a tree and said to cast it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. Then and there, Moses made an ordinance and a statute with the people so that they would remember. And God said, if you will do these four things, diligently hearken to my laws, live righteously in my sight, heed my commandments, and keep all my statutes, then he would keep them from the sickness and diseases that had come upon the Egyptians. For he proclaimed himself to be the Lord that healeth thee, or translated, Jehovah Rapha. You might be asking, what does all this have to do with me and my situation? What does it mean, since I'm not a Jew nor from Israel? Well, thank God that that's also in his master plan. For in Ephesians 2, we read, "We, the Gentiles, or the non-Jews, have been grafted in. The wild olive branch, us, has been united with Christ, and we are no longer strangers, but blood members in the family of God." And this is the message. My friend, you may have your back to the wall. You may have no foreseeable way out. And you may not understand many things. But he's proven himself time and time again to be faithful and true. Remember the Red Sea. The song says that God leads some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. As long as we're covered by that blood, we can have the confidence, we can have the surety that we are firmly established in his master plan. God bless you.